Next case is 07-1282, Gaspar Township Board of Trustees versus Preble County Budget Commission. Mr. Varanese.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. My name is John Varanese. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Gaspar Township. May it please the court. This case is before the court today on an appeal from the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. It involves the allocation by the Preble County Budget Commission of the local government fund and the Revenue Assistance Fund. And for purposes of brevity and clarity, I'll just refer to both funds as the local government fund. In 2004, the Gaspar Township Board of Trustees filed an appeal of the Budget Commission's action in allocating the funds for distribution in 2005. That appeal was filed on October 15, 2004. Board of Tax Appeals proceeded to a merit hearing and found in favor of Gaspar Township and ordered a statutory allocation of the funds based on its determination that the Budget Commission's allocation under a purported alternate was invalid. After that merit hearing in favor of Gaspar Township, but subsequent to a in the future scheduled statutory allocation hearing, the appellees, both the Budget Commission and the Village appellees, filed motions to dismiss based on jurisdictional grounds. The Board of Tax Appeals, in fact, dismissed the notice of appeal based on the Budget Commission's notice of appeal because it found that that motion and the reasons therefore within were determinative of the motions. Basically, this appeal was brought pursuant to RC 570537. RC 570537 has very specific requirements of an appellant to follow in the perfection of its appeal, in addition to the rules prescribed by 574755. Now, in the case before you today, none of the requirements of 570537 nor any of the requirements of 574755 are being contested except the issue of whether the notice of appeal was filed by certified mail with the Preble County Budget Commission. This is what happened. On October 15th, the last day of the 30-day appeal period under 570537, the Gaspar Township fiscal officer filed a notice of appeal by certified mail, both with the Board of Tax Appeals and with the Preble County Budget Commission. It was filed via certified mail at the post office on the 15th of October. That notice of appeal got down to the Board of Tax Appeals. It received it and docketed it as an appeal. The notice of appeal sent to the Budget Commission, and it was addressed to the Preble County Budget Commission, Courthouse, Second Floor, Eaton, Ohio, or, if you will, PC Budget Commission, Courthouse, Second Floor, Eaton, Ohio, pursuant to some contested portions of an affidavit. Whichever one you want to go with, it was properly addressed to the Budget Commission. It, in fact, found its way to the County Board of Commissioners' office and was signed for by the Preble County Board of Commissioners' receptionist. No one knows what became of that certified mailing containing the notice of appeal. So that was the basis for the Budget Commission's motion to dismiss. They said that they never received the notice of appeal. They had never seen it, even though at the merit hearing they certainly had a copy of the notice of appeal, and this was never an issue until, you know, a year or so after the appeal had been filed.
So, counsel, I assume their argument is it's jurisdictional, and your argument is it's waived.
No, not at all. Not at all, Justice Pfeiffer. You cannot waive jurisdictional requirements. I would never make that argument. Our argument is that 570537 permits in-person filing or filing by certified mail. And it has language that says, if by certified mail, then the postmark on the sender's certified mail receipt shall be treated as the date of filing. That language there means it is constructively filed when you mail it at the post office via certified mail.
But it's filed with whom? That's not the problem here. It didn't get filed with the right entity. Am I wrong?
It was properly... Chief Justice, it didn't get filed with or didn't make its way to the Budget Commission, didn't get filed with the Budget Commission. But here, when we're looking at the jurisdictional requirements for an appellant to perfect its appeal, it has to adhere to the requirements imposed by the statute. Here, the requirement imposed by the statute was that Gaspar Township prep the notice of appeal, put it in an envelope, properly addressed to the Budget Commission, and file it via certified mail at the post office.
But you're relying upon the postal person who delivers this mail to know where the Budget Commission is, aren't you? Isn't it the responsibility of the person filing to make certain that either it's addressed to a person, the auditor, in this case, I guess, it would be since there's no office for the Budget Commission, or you deliver it to the person yourself or have it delivered individually, so that you know that the notice of appeal is filed pursuant to statute. That seems like a simple thing to do. Am I missing something?
Not at all, Chief Justice. The statute, 570537, requires that the notice of appeal be filed with the Board of Tax Appeals and with the Budget Commission. It doesn't say auditor. It doesn't say anybody else. It says
it doesn't say
county
commissioners either, does it? Doesn't say county commissioners.
No.
That's certainly not. That isn't close.
No. But
what floor is the auditor's office on?
Second floor.
Right. So at least you directed it. I'm wondering why it said PC.
I can explain that, Justice Pfeiffer.
Okay.
On the certified mail receipt that you get for your sender's receipt, it's very small, and it's a pre-printed form. And the line where you write in the address that the certified mail is in fact going to is maybe an inch and a half.
So you're saying the envelope itself that the postman had said Preble County Budget Commission, second floor of the courthouse, and that would be where the Budget Commission
and that's
would be
in fact,
found.
That's, in fact, the address that the auditor has on his letterhead, that he sends out memos and official correspondence of the auditor's office, that second-floor courthouse, Eaton, Ohio.
Counsel, where's the individual who resigned for this? Where's that office located?
Justice, I think that office was at the time, I believe, on the first floor of the courthouse, but I'm not sure if the record is
clear. So you had a postman that walks into the post or to the courthouse and deposits this letter at the same location where he probably deposits all mail that comes into the courthouse. Is that?
That's what we had assumed, that when the postman delivers to the courthouse, he's got all the certified mail and then at a central location it's signed for and then distributed to all the offices within the courthouse.
Does the record reflect that?
No, I don't believe it does.
Well, another scenario would be the postman wasn't that careful, looked at it, said Preble County Budget Commission, and the postman thought he saw a commission and mistook it for commissioners and did it that way. That would be another way it could have happened.
That's within the realm. When the BTA dismissed this appeal, it went through three cases. The first case was Fulton v. State X Rail General Motors, and in that case, they analogize an old appeal statute to 570537, and they ruled based on Fulton that filing means actually received. The statute that this court analyzed in Fulton didn't have the constructive filing language, but yet, though, the BTA said that this means it has to be filed with the Budget Commission, and I submit that that can't be the last word on this appeal because the two statutes are entirely different.
Counsel, the sentence that I keep coming back to, if notice of appeal is filed by certified mail, et cetera, the date of the U.S. postmark placed on the sender's receipt by the Postal Service or the date of receipt recorded by the authorized delivery service shall be treated as the date of filing. What part of that sentence are you relying on to say that there was appropriate filing?
I am relying on that exact part of the statute you just quoted. When It is our position that when you go to the post office with your certified mailing containing the notice of appeal, when you push that notice of appeal across the counter and it goes into the possession of the Postal Service, under 570537, you have done all that you possibly can do within your control, all the affirmative acts that you can take to ensure that jurisdiction is perfected. You have to mail it by certified mail, of course, properly addressed. But what else, what more can you do? In this case, the statute didn't say certified mail, return receipt requested, because that language would put the appellant on notice that even after it leaves your control, you've got to monitor the delivery process to make sure it gets to that right office. And if you don't get your return receipt with that proper signature on it, well, then something's amiss and you better follow up. Moreover, the statute also made no mention of anything that Gasper had to do after it mailed the certified mailing. Two other cases that the Board of Tax Appeals relied on in dismissing our case are both distinguishable from the case here. In the first case, Blue Ash Partners v. Hamilton County Budget Commission, there was no certified mail receipt with the postmark on it. And so, of course, the BTA dismissed that appeal because the budget or the Board of Revision had said we never received the notice of appeal. So that case has nothing to do with our case. The second case the BTA relied on was Mercantile v. Tracy. And in that case, Mercantile incorrectly addressed their notice of appeal. But that's not the facts in our case either. The only case out there that's on point with our case is a 2003 case by the BTA where an appellant mailed a notice of appeal to the BTA and to the tax commissioner. Both were correctly addressed. However, the certified mailing to the tax commissioner was, in fact, delivered to the BTA. Counsel for the tax commissioner initially raised a jurisdictional issue that the BTA ruled on in its decision, and it said the notice of appeal certified mailed to the tax commissioner was, in fact, correctly addressed, but was not filed with the tax commissioner, no matter. They met all the jurisdictional requirements, the appellant did, and we have jurisdiction over this appeal. That is Hampton v. Zeno, and that is a BTA decision, although not reviewed by this court, but I do think it stands for some authority on my position. If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Berenice. Mr. Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the Court, my name is Richard Hoffman, and I'm here on behalf of Appalee Budget Commission. Also at table are counsel for Appalee Villages. I will be splitting time with counsel today, and my remarks will be geared mostly towards the October 15th Notice of Appeal. Council will address the October 6th issue and an additional issue of notices to the villages. Mr. Chief Justice, your line of questioning touched on the cornerstone of Appalee's position that the notice of appeal was sent on October 15th to the it was improperly addressed, and that as a direct result of that improper address, it was delivered to Ms. Brock, an employee of the county commissioners.
Was improper about the address?
Well, if we take a look at this court's opinion in Salem Medical Arts, and if I may back up a second, kind of went to what Justice Pfeiffer was discussing, the Budget Commission does not have administrative offices. It, like many other commissions and boards at the county level, are special purpose and serve only that purpose for a few days a year. To have and hold an administrative office for all of these would be an incredible inefficient use of limited resources within the county courthouse. Taking a look at the Salem Medical Arts case, Salem, we have a very similar board. It was the Board of Revision, made up of similar members, except there's a commissioner rather than the prosecutor. The appellant in Salem Medical Arts was also required, just like 570537, to mail a notice of appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals as well as to the Board of Revision. There's no question about the Board of Tax Appeals notice. However, the notice of appeal that was to be sent to the Board of Revision was instead sent to the Assistant County Prosecutor who represented the Board of Revision. This court in the Salem Medical Arts case said that that did not meet its burden.
Did they have a title to the Board of Revision, care of this prosecutor? Or was it just to the prosecutor with the notice inside?
I believe it was addressed to the assistant prosecutor personally.
Okay. And isn't that a little bit different from what we have here, where they entitle the commission to receive? It's the, the budget commission, the county, the floor.
It is a little different, but I still think Salem speaks to that. The Salem case, in quoting a BTA case, Phoenix Dye Works, said that where there is no administrative office maintained, then the notice of appeal should have been addressed to its statutorily designated secretary, which in that case was the auditor. That is analogous to the Budget Commission statutes, which 570527 statutorily designates the county auditor as secretary of the Budget Commission.
But if it had been addressed to the second floor, it said Budget Commission, the auditor was on the second floor, and the postman delivered it to the first floor instead, and whoever signed for it, which proves that it was delivered, was the one at fault for not walking it upstairs, isn't it just a little harsh and unfair, and aren't we after trying to really seek justice to hold this a technicality that they can't have their day in court? I mean, there seems to be something inherently unfair about that whole decision.
Well, if we can go to the next case, which was mentioned by appellant, the Mercantile Stores, and while both the Budget Commission usually operated on the second floor, and what it usually operated out of was the extra room in the auditor's office. An auditor also was on the second floor. But the Mercantile Stores case, which appellant seeks to use as a shield, saying that it properly addressed the envelope, actually relates to about how exactingly correct it need be, because the tax commissioner, or in Mercantile, the notice of appeal was sent to the tax commissioner, and the tax commissioner was located on the 24th floor, but the envelope said the 24th floor. And a two-floor difference made all the difference for the 12th district. But the issue, I believe, which we all should look at, is if I could direct the court to Record on Appeal document number one. Appellant's clerk, Ms. LaVon Mantle, on this very issue, the underlying issue which we are here today, actually had communication with the Budget Commission in the proper format and listed the proper addressee. That would be at page 3. It is a January 26, 2004 letter where it addressed, Dear Preble County Budget Committee, and then said attention, and it named the members itself. Also, the Preble County Township Association, for which appellant is a member, also had the same issue corresponded in July, and that's on page 5. It again addressed it correctly. And then finally, on the last two pages, I do not believe they're numbered, but there is correspondence from the Board of Tax Appeal to Ms. Mantle and CCing the Preble County Budget Commission and listing the names individually, or the officers of the commission themselves. You know, so she was well aware of who the letter should have been addressed to.
Counsel, could you articulate briefly what happened and where did this all this whole issue arise? If I understand it correctly, pursuant to this, there was a hearing in the local courthouse at the Budget Commission, and a determination in favor of the township was made, and then the Budget Commission appealed, and also the township appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals?
There was a hearing. There was a subsequent hearing at the Board of Tax Appeals. A ruling was...
But at the local Budget Commission, the township won. Is that...
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
No.
The determination to be made at the Budget Commission is the allocation itself of the local government funds. It is from that determination or that decision which appellant appealed.
Okay. So it was that appeal, and then they got through. You got through part of the process when this arose.
Yes, sir.
There was a merit hearing.
There was a merit hearing.
And
conducted.
After the merit hearing,
the motions.
You all raised this issue.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. To be fair to counsel, I am going to sit and let her finish.
Thank you, Mr. Huffman. Ms. Waters.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I want to address very quickly the issue raised by Justice Stratton with regard to fairness in this case. As my co-counsel for the Budget Commission noted, for 10 months prior to the attempt to file a notice of appeal with the Budget Commission was undertaken, there were numerous communications reflected in Record on Appeal number 1 and in the last two documents, which were supplemented to the record, where there were communications between the Gaspar Township appellant and the board of the Budget Commission. All of those correspondence were addressed correctly. Ms. Mantle was the same individual involved in all those correspondence.
Well, counsel, when you say correctly, what does the statute say when you file a notice of appeal? To whom shall it be addressed?
The statute, as the appellant has admitted, has very specific requirements. It requires the notice of appeal to be filed with the Budget Commission. Statutorily, the secretary and the individual that represents the Budget Commission for purposes of service is the auditor. Additionally, there is a course of conduct between the parties in terms of filings and correspondence.
Yep. What I'm getting at is you could have a course of conduct, but if on appeal it says you shall file with this entity, if you don't do that, even though you were corresponding directly with all the people that made up that entity, comprised that entity, wouldn't you be in the same pickle that they're in right now?
Correct, which is why they should have sent the notice of appeal to the auditor, just as the Board of Tax Appeals sent all of its official correspondence and notices to the auditor in this case.
Counsel, how many other offices share the second floor?
I am unaware of that. I don't represent the Budget Commission, so I'm not aware of how the courthouse is set up.
Other than the auditor's office.
I'm unaware of that fact, Your Honor. I don't know how many offices are on the first or second floor of the courthouse.
Do you think that would make a difference?
I'm not sure that it would make a difference in this case. No, Your Honor. It needed to be addressed to the secretary for the Budget Commission, and that would be the auditor.
But that's not what the statute says. The statute doesn't say addressed to the auditor. Generally, if you have a statutory agent, you can serve that in lieu of the entity if you can't find the entity. Here it says with the board and with the commission. It doesn't say with the auditor or the certified agent. It doesn't say that in the language of the statute. You have PC Commission second floor, which is where the auditor sits that represents them.
I don't believe that the record is clear in this case with regard to what the envelope said. That is a contested issue factually as to how it was addressed. We only have Ms. Mantle's affidavit indicating that she addressed it in a manner similar to how she did her October 15th notice of appeal and
so
the green card.
You want us to accept course of conduct for all of the other reasons, but not accept it for this purpose? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not sure what her course of conduct was with regard to the envelope. It's a contested issue.
But you're saying she knew the address and she sent everything to the right place, so why would we assume that course of conduct would also apply to how she addressed the appeal?
Well, her course of conduct was that she would normally send it to the auditor, so this would be a deviation from the course of conduct.
Well, if you were talking to an attorney and negotiating, you would be constantly talking to the attorney. But when you go to serve your complaint, you don't serve it on the attorney. You serve it on the client or the opposing party. So that, you know, you have to follow a different rule when you're negotiating versus when you're actually serving somebody.
Which is why this court has repeatedly indicated that it is the appellant's responsibility to ensure that the notice of appeal is properly filed and received by the entity. With regard to the villages, the record is clear in this case that they never received any notice of the notice of appeal.
Counsel, if it would have made its way to the auditor's office, in other words, somebody had walked it up to the second floor and it sat in the auditor's office and was never given to the elected auditor, what would your argument be at that point?
If it was actually received by the auditor's office, then I would concede that it had been delivered to the auditor's office.
Even if it didn't have Mr. Jones's name on it as identified as the county auditor.
It was not correctly addressed. It needs to be correctly addressed, and it also needs to be delivered, correctly delivered. If it was correctly addressed and the mailman handed it to the first floor and it made its way up to the second floor and to the auditor, so it met both requirements of being correctly addressed and delivered to the proper person, then I would indicate that I would concede that that was proper. But neither of those things happened in this case.
Let's back up a little bit. If it made its way to the auditor's office and an intake receptionist took it in and it never made it into the hands of the auditor, whoever that elected entity is, would you consider that to be service?
Your Honor, only if that intake officer had authority to accept mail on behalf of the auditor and was an authorized individual to receive those correspondence and mailings, would I agree to that. If the intake officer was not someone to authorize within that office to accept mail and to accept mailings for the Budget Commission, then no, I would not agree that that was a proper service or filing of the notice of appeal.
So the postal delivery person needs to track down the actual person, ask them if they have authority to accept mail before they leave it a certified mail?
It is this court has repeatedly indicated that the burden of establishing the timely filing of a notice of appeal is on the party making that notice of appeal, doing the filing. It cannot be on the party that is receiving the mailing.
This case, it seems to me, is different than let's assume that the envelope was addressed to the auditor as secretary to the board, or properly addressed second floor, and the postal person delivered it to the basement by mistake. Then I take it that the postal rule or that the mail rule would be in play, because the person filing the notice of appeal in that instance would have done everything he could have done to direct the notice of appeal to the proper place, but the postal person made a mistake. That would be different, I think, than this case. Or would you argue for the same result in that instance?
Mr. Chief Justice, certainly that's what the Board of Tax Appeals has found when it has addressed the issue. And looking at the Hampton case and the Mercantile Store cases, the Board of Tax Appeals has indicated where it's correctly addressed, then if there is an error in delivery, that should not be held against the individual. I don't know that the villages, we certainly wouldn't concede that point. Our position has been that it has to be received and it has to be correctly received, and that it's the obligation of the person filing the notice of appeal to ensure that it is both correctly addressed and that it is properly received.
How would that be accomplished? Under the chief scenario there, where it's appropriately and in your version properly addressed, and it goes down to the basement instead of the second floor, and it never makes its way up in a timely fashion to the second floor. But the appellant would have received the green card with the time stamp on it, and the time stamp was within the timelines appropriate for the appeal. How would the appellant, in all fairness, the township here, know that it wasn't received by the actual auditor?
Well, because it's a two-part jurisdictional statute. This court has recognized that service of the notice of appeal on all of the interested parties is jurisdictional. And here, the second part of the statute was not complied with, and Gaspar Township was on notice of that. The villages were not served with a copy of the notice of appeal by the Budget Commission, and the required statutory filing of the notice of service was never made with the Board of Tax Appeals. Gaspar Township has admitted in the record below that it was monitoring the docket, that it was paying attention to what was going on, that it was communicating with the Board of Tax Appeals when it didn't think things were moving fast enough. It noted the non-participation of the Budget Commission, and in fact, everyone at the merits hearing noted on the record the fact that none of the villages were there, that there was not a single representative for the villages. With regard to the issue of fairness, these villages have already spent their budgets. They were unaware that there was an issue about how their local funds were going to be allocated. And so there's this missed opportunity for the years of 2005, 2006, 2007, and 2008 to make budgetary changes based upon what their allocation is going to be. They had no idea until there was, after the merits hearing, that this appeal was going on. Gaspar Township, the appellant, however, was well aware that there had been no notice to the villages and that the notice that's required to be filed with the Board of Tax Appeals evidencing the service to the villages had not been made. They knew there was a problem. They didn't follow up in any way. They didn't talk to anyone on the Budget Commission to find out why that service had never happened. They never talked to the Board of Tax Appeals to find out why that hadn't have happened. They have the ability through the writ of mandamus to ensure that the statute is complied with.
How much money is involved in this case?
Thousands and thousands of dollars. It would be a significant impact on the budgets of the townships to have this.
Are we talking 10,000?
No, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a million plus allocation of local funds. It's millions of dollars that gets allocated, and each of the townships have hundreds of thousands of dollars involved in the allocation.
I assume they got some, though. So there's a portion of what they would normally get that's in controversy.
They got all that they were supposed to get from the Budget Commission. What Gaspar Township is seeking to do is to change that allocation so that Gaspar Township receives more of the local funds, and each of the townships that have already spent those funds would receive less.
And that would be hundreds of thousands of dollars that would go to Gaspar Township?
Gaspar, I'm not sure of the specific amounts. There is attached to the notice of appeal calculations with regard to that. I believe that it's tens of thousands of dollars that Gaspar Township is seeking to recover. But you have a multiple year situation now with regard to the appeal, and you have the same issue for 2006, 2007, 2008 with regard to the calculation. And if the merits hearing result were to be applied, it would be applied for multiple years, not just for 1 year, because the same argument would be applied for each year.
So technically, they won on the merits, but they lost on this technicality.
They won an uncontested argument on the merits. The villages were not there to present any evidence, any defenses, any witnesses to in any way.
Let me just so I understand the statutory footprint here. The villages were not on notice because is it the Budget Commission that sends them notice when it's advised that there's an appeal? It then looks to me under the statute. It then advises all the parties who have been before the Budget Commission. Is that accurate? Is
That's correct, Your Honor. The Budget Commission has that obligation, and the reason why the notice of that service has to be filed with the Board of Tax Appeals is so that everyone is on notice that anyone who has a due process right, who has a stake in the interest in how the case is going to be decided, has received notice. It's like a service of a summons to all the various different defendants in a civil case. You have a person who's filed a complaint, but if you don't serve all of the interested parties, the parties to whom their rights are going to be affected, you cannot go forward.
Did the notice of appeal here never did it ever find its way to the Budget Commission from the first floor of the courthouse?
Certainly the October 15th document didn't, but with regard to the notice of appeal, we're forgetting the fact that they actually filed their notice of appeal on October 6th. That is the first document in the record on appeal. They received notice from the Budget Commission that there were jurisdictional requirements they had to meet for the service.
They being pronoun, who is they?
That being the appellant in this case. There was a letter written on October 8th. That's the second document on the record of appeal. It is uncontested that the appellant did not attempt in any way to serve its October 6th notice of appeal to the Budget Commission. This court doesn't even have to reach the issue of the proper service of the October 15th notice, because the notice that created the case, the notice that set up the file, got a case number established, was docketed, got a hearing officer established, and which the Board of Tax Appeals notified the Budget Commission and appellant was going to be the case and would go forward, that was never filed. No attempt was ever made to file that. There's nothing.
Wasn't that just a letter that the Budget Commission treated as an appeal, not the actual appeal in appeal format?
No, Your Honor. The statute allows for the physical officer of a township to file a notice of appeal. It does not have to come from a lawyer, and it doesn't have to be in a lawyer format. There are certain requirements in the statute that have to be met, and that notice of appeal met those requirements. It specifically asked for relief. It asked the BTA to take action. It provided materials as the basis for its appeal. It enclosed calculations, spreadsheet, other materials. It advised the BTA that the reason that the appeal was being taken in this fashion was they couldn't afford to hire a lawyer, and the county prosecutor was a member of the Budget Commission and so therefore had a conflict. When you look at the indicia of the letter, it met all of the statutory requirements for a notice of appeal, which is why the Budget Commission wrote to them and said, we're going to consider this a notice of appeal. And then on October 26th, sent an official docketing notice to both the Budget Commission and to appellant saying that the notice of appeal was filed on October 6th, and this is how the case is going to go forward. But the record is uncontested that there was no attempt to file that notice of appeal in any way with the Budget Commission.
So if you start the appeal process by a defective appeal, you can't do a do-over and do it right and within the time constraints for appeal and be okay.
Well, certainly there's no ability to cure outside of the time period, but there was nothing defective about the October 6th notice. They could have attempted to file that with the Budget Commission. They never made any attempt to do that.
So it is defective. So,
yes.
So you're saying you can't come along within the time constraints and clean that up by a do-over.
You can come along within the time constraints and file the notice of appeal. There's nothing in the statute that permits amended appeals or second appeals. They never withdrew their October 6th notice of appeal, and there's nothing substantively different between the October 15th and the October 6th appeal in terms of the requested relief and the issue that's actually being appealed.
How big is this township? How many employees does it have?
I am unaware of how large Gaspar Township is, Your Honor.
Do they have a full-time office?
Certainly they have a physical officer. They have township trustees.
Well, everybody
they
has
have
that.
A sheriff.
Everybody has that. But is this a little township where three trustees go out and plow the roads when it snows, or is this a township that has 25 or 50 employees?
I'm not sure. Perhaps counsel for appellant can answer that question. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think it's a large township, but at the same time, it's certainly a township that is able to fulfill its statutory duties of operation and meet its obligations to its citizens.
You've used your time, Ms. Waters.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Marshall, please adjourn
court. Yes.
Chief,
I'm sorry. We've been here so long, it just seemed like we should be adjourning.
45 minutes, and it's 5 anyway.
Bernice, you've saved, little more than 2.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Chief.
I'll
make this brief so we can get to lunch. I wanted to, of course, clear up some misrepresentations or misstatements by counsel for appellees. Number one, it really doesn't matter what the extraneous issues are. The only issue here before the court is, does that certified mailing that was properly addressed per the statute to the Preble County Budget Commission establish the BTA's jurisdiction, because they fulfilled every requirement of the statute. The reference to an earlier notice of appeal filed by Gaspar Township, that is a classic red herring argument. Number one, that was a letter of inquiry sent to the board asking for what are our options when we're faced with this kind of a situation. And the chief attorney examiner wrote back and said, hey, the appeal statute is this. Look at it, okay?
That October 6th letter was properly received.
The October 6th letter was sent to the Board of Tax Appeals as an inquiry, yes.
Okay.
But it was not a notice of appeal. It didn't comply with the 574755 rules. It didn't name overallocated subdivisions. It didn't have the resolution authorizing the fiscal officer to file it. It was not a notice of appeal. Moreover, they filed a correct notice of appeal within the 30-day appeal period. Whenever the BTA gets any kind of correspondence from a taxpayer or a subdivision, they bend over backwards to make sure that nobody's appeal rights are prejudiced. They always treat everything as an appeal.
Counsel, if that's the case and the representation was that you or someone for the township was closely monitoring the docket of the BTA and it became abundantly clear that there was no appearance of the townships or the budget commission, in this, was that a signal that there was a defective?
Justice, the reference to the monitoring the docket of the BTA was that our fiscal officer was awaiting feedback from the Board of Tax Appeals concerning the status of appeal. She received no feedback from the BTA concerning the status of appeal. It wasn't as if she was calling the clerk or whatever and act and see what was on the docket. She was just waiting for something back. She received nothing back. She was not monitoring the docket.
All right. Let me ask another question that I asked of counsel and they didn't know the answer. How many county offices are situated on the second floor of the Preble County Courthouse where the auditor's office is located? Do you know?
I'm sorry, Justice. I don't have the answer to that question.
Okay.
That be in the record by any chance? Probably not.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Bernice. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Now we'll adjourn court.
All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio. Now stand.
Thank you.
Thank you.